highest of heights to the depths of the sea.
The old paths are safe because narrow is the gate, verse 14, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Entrance into the kingdom of God is exclusive, but everyone is invited on this path if they put their faith in God's only means of salvation, Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved.
You place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. You are amazing, God. All powerful, untamable, awestruck we fall to our knees as we humbly proclaim. You are amazing.
Welcome, everyone, and thank you for joining us. You're listening to Truth in Christ Radio, a Bible teaching radio ministry of Calvary Chapel of Rochester with senior pastor and teacher, Rob Kellogg. Enter the narrow gate. Jesus did not speak of this gate as our destiny, but as the entrance to a path. There is a right way and a wrong way, and Jesus appealed to his listeners to decide to go the more difficult way, which leads to life. He understood and taught that all ways and not all destinations are equally good. One leads to destruction, the other to life. The true gate is both narrow and difficult. If your road has a gate that is easy and well-traveled, you do well to watch out. Now here's Pastor Rob with today's message.
5 months down the road, there are times that I've prayed that I've had to wait for 15 years. Is that okay? It is. Because in that process, I'm changing. God is challenging me. God is getting me more dependent on him, and I'm starting to question my own motives. Is this really right, God? And then you keep praying, and you keep praying, because you believe you have the right heart about it, and then he answers. And isn't that's better than anything in the world, isn't it? When you pray for earnest for something and then all of a sudden it takes years and then finally God just drops it right in your lap and you're like, oh my goodness. You just want to do a hopscotch. You want to do the double dutch. You want to jump up and down like your legs are on fire and tell everybody around you what great things God has done for you. Isn't that cool? And when God does that to you, be sure to be a loud mouth about it. Tell all your friends, I prayed for this and God did it. Look what he did. I've been praying for 10 years. I prayed last week. I prayed 3 months ago and look what he did. Look what he did. Oh God, you're so good. And I couldn't even have done it myself. And you did this in a total way that I didn't even think. You came out of a place that I didn't even discern. I couldn't have worked this out on my own. And yet you did it, God, because you're awesome in power. Is God awesome in power? Can I get an amen? Yes, he's awesome. Jesus said, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who's in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Again, the motive of the prayer is important. And you know, if we ask and do not receive, it may be no, or it may be not yet. But we need to be honest with ourselves with the request. And James, Jesus' half-brother, says, you do not have because you do not ask. And you ask and you don't receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. And there's the caveat in the whole thing, is that we need to be sure about these things. In Luke chapter 11, this is Jesus speaking on this very same topic later on in his ministry. He says, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? In addition to all those other necessities of life that we talk about, let's make sure that the one thing we ask for is for the Holy Spirit to fill us, to anoint us, to use us. Because without the Holy Spirit in our lives, we can't do these things. In fact, it's the most important thing, to be filled with the Spirit of God. And he goes on in verse 12, therefore, whatever you ask men to do to you, here's the golden rule, folks. Put a little asterisk or circle this verse. This is the golden rule. Whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. It is the law and the prophets. Jesus said in Matthew 22, he says, then one of them, a lawyer, asking him a question, testing him, said, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And this is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. All the law and the prophets. When you look at the Ten Commandments, the first four speak of our relationship with God. The law. And the prophets, they all speak about that. And the last six speak of our relationship with man. To man, thou shalt not covet, thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not bear false witness. Jesus said in Paul, through the Spirit, says, you shall not commit adultery. For these commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And that is, if we can live this way and keep these things in mind, we will be in pretty good shape. But the world is not such, and even the church is not such. And are we shocked that the world is the mess that it is? Lord, folks, this is the time for you and I to really walk the walk and talk the talk, and more importantly, walk the walk, because anybody can talk. The old adage, talk is cheap, right? I can talk all I want, but if my actions don't actually add up, and I'll be the first one to tell you that my actions need to align with what I am, what I know to be true, and what the things that I speak, because I need just as much as you to be walking that walk. I need to be walking. I need to be cognizant of it every single day. And Jesus finally goes on, and just bear with me a few more minutes here. I appreciate it. But notice what he says. He says, enter now by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. It's true that all roads lead to God. And you might be going, oh, I can't believe he spoke such blasphemy. No, it's true. All roads ultimately lead to God. And here's what I'm thinking. Every way that man devises apart from the cross and Jesus Christ is a broad way that leads to destruction. Yes, Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses, Islam, Buddhism, Hinduism, these are all the broad ways that are leading to destruction. And why? Am I being judgmental? No. Because they are Christless. They are crossless religions. You have to do for the God, but in Christianity, God has done everything for you. You just have to believe in him. Right? Is that truth? Say amen, something. Yes, it's true. I'm not judging, but yes, all roads lead to God, because anyone who has rejected Christ and is a part of a world religion that has rejected Christ, they are all going to be leading to God, because one day they will stand before him. Not for salvation, but for eternal damnation. They will all stand before him. We read about it in Revelation 20, verses 11 through 15. These things, they will all, roads lead to God, but not in the way that people think. What does it tell us in 1 John? Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. That's why all these world religions, they are off the mark. They've missed the mark. Because they are Christless, they are godless, they are crossless. That's a big problem. In John chapter 10, verse 1, Jesus said, most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, and Jesus is the door, they try to enter not to the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way. Notice, the same as a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings his own sheep out, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, and they know his voice. And in that same chapter, down in verse 7, said, Jesus said to them again, most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All whoever came before me are thieves and robbers. Yes, Charles Taz Russell, Brigham Young, all of these religions, all that have come before me are robbers and thieves. They've tried coming up another way. But Jesus says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go out and find pasture. So Jesus is the door, and it's a narrow path. So follow him and stay on that path. There's an old adage that says, if it is true, it is not new. And if it is new, it is not true. There's nothing new under the sun. Even Solomon said that in Ecclesiastes, didn't he? In chapter 1, verse 9. That which has been is what will be, and that which is done is what will be done, and there is nothing new under the sun. And what does Jeremiah tell us? I love this. And folks, this is something in the church that we have to get back to. There are no new paths. There are no new revelations of God, of what he's going to do. No, what does Jeremiah exhort us? Through the Spirit of God, stand in the ways and see and ask for the old paths, where the good way is, and walk in it. Not in a path that man has created and has desired to reach God by some other means. No, there's only one path. It's an old path, and it's very effective. We don't need to go on a new path. You don't need to be searching around a corner for some new thing. No, it's all right here. Why can't we just believe it? And why can't we just believe it so much that we walk it? We live it. We say, God, help me to take everything that's in here and appropriate it into my heart, and may it just come out like a gushing torrent to all my family, to all my friends, to everyone that's around. Ask for the old paths where the good way is and walk in it. Then you will find, notice, then and only then will you find rest for your souls, because otherwise you're going to be looking for everything. Well, I got to find my solace in wine, or I got to find my solace in marijuana or CBD oil or whatever it is. I got to find my solace. And oh, brother. Then you will find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. You've seen somebody do that? We won't do it. Well, you can walk in that rebellion. God loves you, know that. But if that's your opinion, if that's your stance, if that's what you're going to die, if that's the hill that you're going to die on, then you're really going to die on it. And you'll be judged on it. But seek the old paths. That's why we don't preach a different message. That's why the church doesn't preach a different message. We preach Christ and him crucified. We preach the word of God. That's the only thing that's worth preaching. There's nothing else worth preaching. I don't want to preach politics to you. That's just a band-aid. The real center of the issue is man's souls, the souls of men and women. Who cares? I mean, I do care, but the end of it all, at the end of the day, it's the soul of that person. And being a Republican or a Democrat or an independent is not going to save a soul. Believe me, there's a lot of Republicans going to hell. There's a lot of independents going to hell. There's a lot of Democrats going to hell. But out of all that group, anyone who's a Christian is going to heaven. So what's more important? They're both important, but one is extremely important, because that one, my relationship to Christ, is what my ticket out of here. And yes, I'm looking forward to the rapture of the church. Why? Because I want to get out of here. It is my crutch. It is my joy, and I'm not ashamed of it. I'm not afraid to say, I'm looking forward to getting out of here. Even right now, Lord, beam me up. Why? Well, two things. Specifically, I want to be with him. He is perfect and true and holy and just. He's beautiful in every I can't even comprehend him. I feel like I know this much, and he's going, oh, it goes so long, it's just incredible. And I'm like, Lord, if you're this good and I only know this, I'm just going to be completely blown. And he's like, yeah. That's what I want. I want to be with him. And yes, I want to escape a world that is rejected, that hates him, a world where truth isn't upheld. I want to escape a world that has turned its back on Christ, that instead of upholding truth and good things, they're giving themselves over to the things that we read in Romans 1. I saw a video recently of a gay, he was a gay priest. And right in the church, I could show, I've got it on my thing, I could show, I won't do it because it's so horrendous. But here is a priest with all of his garb on, and he's a homosexual. And he's got a transgender, or not a transgender, but a drag queen there in the church. And two kids are up on the platform, and they're talking about how this is so great, how God allows us to do these things. And I literally almost vomited. I almost vomited. We are to walk in the old paths. The old paths are safe because narrow is the gate, verse 14, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Entrance into the kingdom of God is exclusive, but everyone is invited on this path if they put their faith in God's only means of salvation, Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Yes, narrow and difficult is the way, and salvation costs Christ everything, but you and I, it cost us nothing. But to live this life here on earth is not going to be without troubles and hazards. It's going to require a death to ourselves. It's going to mean a turning away from the world and its lust. This is why we should never tell anybody, as we're trying to lead them to Christ, that come to Christ, all your problems are going to go away. Your bank account's going to be fat and full. You're never going to go through any troubles now that you're a Christian. Ah, that is such a lie. No, in fact, when you come to Christ, you're probably going to have battles that you never understood. Is there going to be peace and joy? Yes. Is there going to be deliverance from sin, the weight off your shoulder that you've been, it's been like this monkey on your back all of your life, and you feel like you can hardly breathe? You feel like that, you know, in Pilgrim's Progress, you know, the guy carrying the load on his back, and it's just weighing him down, and then finally that load is lifted, and now you can spring and dance and jump around through the tulips. Don't ever tell anybody, come to Christ and everything will be better. Yes, in some ways it will be better, tremendously better, great and wonderfully better. But your circumstances may get worse for a while. And you're not without trials, because the Christian life is not a walk in the park. What does James tell us? My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith, what does it do? It produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Paul and Timothy, when he's speaking to him, he says, but you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, long perseverance, or excuse me, love and perseverance, persecutions, yes, afflictions. What happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, and out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. And this is why so few find it. They want a new path that's Christless, that's crossless. They want a new path, and yet Jeremiah and the Spirit of God pleads with us, get on the old path, stay secure in the old path. You don't need a new version of the Bible like the Message. The Message is like a paraphrase. It's not even a translation, yet people read it like the Bible. Read the Bible, right? I've been heavy, I know. Everybody smile, because you're looking at me like, we're going to tear you apart when you leave that platform. Well, so be it. You know what? I'll go to glory. I mean, you guys are awesome. I got nothing to worry about. But this is why so few find it, and many would rather laugh with the sinners than cry with the saints. But I would rather cry with the saints for the duration of my life on earth and spend an eternity with Jesus than laugh with the sinners on Friday and Saturday nights and spend eternity in hell. Wouldn't you? Yes, I would. I'd rather my whole life was completely ground up into a pile of dust and be faithful to Christ than for to live the life on, you know, and have everything just going well for me and go straight to hell when I die. But when Jesus speaks about judging, make sure we understand what that means. You will know them by their fruits. That's not judging, by looking at something and calling something sin. How I go about it and my attitude in it is everything. And ultimately, remember, I can't condemn to hell anybody. Neither would I want to. God doesn't even want to do that. But he will, and he can, and he's the only one who can righteously and sovereignly do that. But I cannot, but I can call a spade a spade. Is adultery a sin? Is lying a sin? Oh, don't be judgmental, brother. No, I'm not being judgmental. I'm just saying the truth. If I lie, I'm going to call it a lie. If I murder, I'm going to call it murder, and it's a sin. Don't judge me, brother. No, there's one who judges you already, the Word of God. So don't be afraid to let truth be your guide. You will know them by their fruits. But again, your attitude, your motive is everything. And the final destination of that soul is not for me to know. I'm not condemning them. I'm hoping that they come to Christ. Because even those most horrible people in history, think about Nebuchadnezzar. Think about some of the other more recent ones. Done horrific, atrocious things that we just can't even fathom. And yet, at the end, God receives them, and they're in glory. And we're like, that's not fair. Who's the judge? Is the blood of Christ able to cover a serial killer's life and to cover it as if it never happened and that person go to heaven? Yes, it's happened. And there are many people who have never committed such atrocities that will reject Christ and go to hell. It's about Christ. It's about him. It's about the forgiveness of the blood of Christ. Thank you. Let's stand together. I've kept you long, and I almost want to apologize, but you guys are very gracious. So, Father, we just thank you for this passage, Lord, how it just strikes right to the core of our being, Lord. It's something that we have to deal with every day, Lord, this whole issue of judging and asking and seeking and knocking and this narrow path, this narrow road that we are on. God, help us, Lord, to stay on that narrow path. Lord, help us to stay with the old path and not try to reinvent or make something new. Lord, help us to continue to ask and to seek and to knock and never to give up. Lord, help us to not judge anybody and being harsh and critical and nasty, Lord, but help us also not to be fearful of calling what is true, true, and what is false, false. What is evil, evil, and what is good, good. Lord, you've given us a conscience. You've given us your word, and Lord, we are so thankful for that. Would you please, Lord, just ingrain these things into my heart and do the same for my brothers and sisters this morning, that we might live lives that glorify you, and that, Lord, we'd be set on fire to go out and tell others about it too, Lord. We love you, we thank you, we praise you in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen.
That's the end of our study for today, but please join us next time as Pastor Rob continues in the Gospel of Matthew. Calvary Chapel of Rochester is located at 2503 Browncroft Boulevard, Rochester, New York, 14625. You can reach us at our church office between 9 a.m. and 4 p.m., Monday through Friday, at area code 585-586-3140. If you would like to have an audio CD of today's message mailed to you in its unedited form, simply mention today's date when contacting our church office. You can also contact us via the web by logging on to www.calvaryrochester.com. There you will be able to access a number of useful things, such as information concerning our beliefs, our ministries, contact information, our location, service times, and much more. You can also download or listen to the radio and sanctuary messages free of charge from the teachings link at the top of the page. To listen to Calvary Chapel of Rochester sanctuary messages or Truth in Christ Radio on your mobile device, just subscribe to both through Google Podcast or Apple Podcast. You're also invited to join us on Sunday and Thursdays through live streaming of our services and Bible studies. Just click on the online services link on the website. We're so glad that you could join us today. And if there is any way that we can bless you with your walk with Jesus Christ, please don't hesitate to call our church office. Remember, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And for this cause, I have come into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." May God bless you in abundance today as you walk with Him. And until next time, this has been Truth in Christ.